We welcome you to the Tabernacle Podcast, brought to you by the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Hickory, North Carolina. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit our website, tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. You can find other sermons like this one on Apple Podcast, YouTube, and Sermon Audio. It is our prayer that God has used this message to be an encouragement to your heart.
I'd like for you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 this evening. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and I began in January, just on Sunday nights, looking at this thought, reasons, as we began the year looking at the priorities of the church on Sunday morning, and I thought, it would be a good exercise for us to understand the reasons that we do certain things or the reasons that we should do certain things. And as I have noted, we have reviewed various topics, reasons that you should attend church. I think that's important for us to know because that helps us make decisions, right? And I'm thankful that I grew up in a home where there was no decision to be made. We're going to church. And I benefited greatly from that. I think it's one of the great things parents do for their children is bring them to church faithfully. And so we looked at biblical reasons that you should attend church. We looked at biblical reasons why you should read God's Word. What are the commands, the blessings, and the benefits of reading the Bible? Then we looked at the reasons that you should pray, and then that you should witness to the lost. Then we looked at reasons that you should rejoice. And then last week, reasons that you should forgive others. Tonight, we're going to look at this thought from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, on reasons you and I should fight the good fight of faith. Reasons you should fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. I would want you to note in verse number 12, the opening phrase the Apostle Paul uses as he concludes this first epistle to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. I want you to know it is a good fight, isn't it? In fact, it's the greatest fight. It's a good fight. And it's one that we have been charged to fight for the glory of God. I want you to see in verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God. This is a solemn charge. This is a solemn responsibility that God has given to us, that you and I fight the good fight of faith. He goes on to say that we have been given this charge in the sight of God, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. When they crucified the Lord Jesus, Pilate had the superscription printed and published above his head on the cross that Jesus was the King of the Jews. And in time, the Bible said, God will show that he truly is the king. He is a king. He's a victorious king and a triumphant king. He is a soon coming king. And until he comes, you and I are engaged in a conflict. We are engaged in the king's battle. And may God help us to be faithful in the fight. As I said, it's a good fight. And it's a fight that we must be willing to stay in if we're going to profess a good profession. Now, I was thinking about this fight and what may deter us from it. I think there are at least three things that come immediately to our mind and to our heart as we think about the fight. First of all, we might get fearful in the fight. Sometimes our hearts are gripped with fear and worry and concern. How do we answer this fear? By the way, it's a natural thought that all of us have. It's a natural tendency, a frailty that we have, to be overcome with fear. What is the answer to fear? It is faith. Faith is the answer to fear. And may God help us to be people who walk by faith. And we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we may be fearful in the fight. And we answer fear with faith. Then we may grow weary in the fight. Sometimes we get tired of the struggle. And we wear away. And we get discouraged. And we wonder if it's worth continuing in the battle. And so when we grow weary, we have the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And that Spirit of God refreshes us and strengthens us so that we can continue in the fight. And then I thought, thirdly, this: we get wounded in the fight, don't we? And you go to battle, you're going to get wounded. And the wounds can penetrate deeply. But what we find is that God has a salve for our wounds. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked God to remove it. But God chose to leave the thorn there, did he not? And he said, "My grace is sufficient." And I'm glad to know that God's grace is sufficient for all my wounds, my past hurts, my disappointments, my disillusionment. God's grace is sufficient. So though I get fearful, though I grow weary, and though I'm often wounded in the battle, I need to stay in the battle. And I want to encourage you tonight to stay in the battle. Don't become weary in well-doing. The Bible says, "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And so I want to give you 8 reasons tonight that we need to stay in the battle. And so let me give them to you. First of all, we must fight the good fight of faith. Number one, because we have an adversary who seeks to destroy us. We have an adversary who seeks to destroy us. We need to recognize that. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we have an enemy. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober." We talked about that this morning, about the fact that we're to gird up the loins of our mind, we're to be sober, we're to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That is a very real danger for us tonight, that we have an enemy who is constantly seeking to destroy us, and we need to be awakened to that fact. We need to be vigilant in our defense and in our awareness of the foe, because he is coming against us. So, number one, we must fight the good fight of faith because we have an enemy who is seeking to destroy us. Satan is our enemy, is he not? And he has a couple allies against us. Number one is the world. The world, the system of this world, which Satan is the prince of. The Bible calls him the prince of this world. Satan took dominion from Adam. The Lord gave Adam dominion, And Satan took it from him in the garden. And Satan is in charge of the system of this world that is against God. And so this world is opposed to us. And then there's another ally that the devil has in this battle. It's within our own selves. It's our flesh, right? Our flesh that resists the Spirit and the work of God. Our flesh that is prone to deception. Our flesh that desires things that damage it and hurt it and hinder it. And so we need to recognize tonight that we must fight the good fight of faith because we have an adversary who is seeking to destroy us. Secondly, I want you to notice that we must fight the good fight of faith because our faith is under attack. Our faith is under attack. Would you go with me to the book of Jude in verse number 3? Jude is on the doorstep of the Revelation. You'll find it there, the last book before Revelation. Just one little chapter, the book of Jude. And Jude says in verse number 3 as he writes, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We are in a battle for the truth. We are in a battle for our faith. Our faith is under attack. And he says in verse number 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men." Here are men who have crept into the church, masquerading themselves as sheep. They are ungodly men. They do not know the Lord. And they turning, he said, "the grace of our God into lasciviousness." We have grace. We're not under the law, they would say. And that is true, and thanks be unto God for that. But they would teach that because we are not under the law, we are free to live any way that we choose. And lasciviousness means unbridled lust, unrestrained. We can follow any impulse, any desire that we have and be free of condemnation and guilt. This is a false teaching and a false doctrine. And not only do they turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, he says, "and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." They deny his deity. They deny that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. And by the way, we live in a church age where we see how certain men who crept in unawares are flourishing in their false teaching, and our faith is under attack. And Satan desires to carry away the hearts of our children and our young people. Paul warned the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Would you allow a grievous wolf to come into this building? Would you allow him to roam freely down the hallways of our nursery and our preschool? Would you allow him to serve in the children's Sunday school ministry or in the teen ministry? Grievous wolves. Would you let one into your home and say, "He looks like a nice wolf. Perhaps he's tame and he'll do us no harm." And you see, while we're unguarded, what will the grievous wolf do? He'll devour. He'll destroy. And Paul said, "I want you to know there are grievous wolves that are entering in among you, not sparing the flock." Verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Beware of that crowd that has to have a following. "To draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." You see, we've got to stay in the fight, friends, because our faith is under attack. Not too long ago, I received a carefully crafted letter. And that letter was couched in biblical language, terms that you and I know. But those terms were used not to promote righteousness, but to promote wickedness. To say to God's people that we have a responsibility to be loving, and we do, do we not? And to be tolerant, and to be accepting of all people. And what was the agenda of that letter? To say that the church should open its arms and welcome in those who are walking contrary to the way that God has made them, walking contrary to the relationships that God created us to have as men and women. You see, they are ungodly men, and they've crept in, teaching us to deny that the Bible is the Word of God, teaching us to accept the methodology of the world to propagate the message of the gospel. I want to say to you that we have to be vigilant because our faith is under attack. And thirdly, I want to say this to you. We must be vigilant because the Lord's church is under attack. You see, our faith is our beliefs. It's our body of doctrine. But the church is the Lord's bride. It is His body. It is His representative on this earth. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Satan and all of his forces have gathered against the Lord's church. And we are in a struggle. We are in a fight. We are doing the work of the Lord through the local New Testament church. It is the organism, it is the organization that the Lord Jesus established and commissioned to do His work. And so Satan's big guns are pointed at the church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, "Thou art Peter," speaking to His disciple, and He said, "Upon this rock I will build My church." Peter, here's what you need to know. This confession that you have made, that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the confession that all people must make. And when they make it, they become a part of My church. I will build My church upon this rock, upon Myself, upon the confession of those who know Me for who I am. And then He went on to say this, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What do we learn from that verse? We learn that we have a foe who hates the church. And Satan will do everything in his power to deter you from being faithful to the Lord's church. He will do everything he can to divide you from the company of believers who make up the Lord's church. And we need to recognize we've got to stay in the fight. Let me give you a fourth reason. Would you turn into the Old Testament for this one? Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 17. Nehemiah chapter number 4, and verse 7, Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7. We know that Nehemiah has led the people to do the work. They're building the wall. And Satan hates progress. By the way, let me just pause and say a personal word to our church. God has led us to make progress and to advance. We praise God. We thank Him with humble hearts for the growth He has given to our ministry. It is God's favor and God's blessings. Let's resolve to be faithful to the Lord and not hinder what God is doing. It is all of the Lord. It is not a result of who we are. It is a result of who He is. It is His favor and blessing upon us. And we should bow with grateful hearts and thank our mighty God for what He is doing in this place. I'm overwhelmed by the goodness of our God. I'm grateful that our children get to see God at work. And I'm glad that they're going to benefit from it. And I want you to know, every day they're on the job. Cutting, building, running the electrical wires, installing the plumbing, the heat and air units, reinforcing the walls, and all the things that will be done in that building. I want you to know, with every step of progress that we make, Satan will seek to divide us. We need to be aware of that. Satan will attack us. He will come against us. And we need to be aware of that. Because Satan does not like what will take place in those buildings. Because children will fill those rooms and walk those halls. And teachers will teach those children that God made them, who they are, that God loves them, that Jesus came to save them, and we will point them to Him. And I want you to know, the devil doesn't like it. And he can sit on attack. But you and I have to be careful. Because the devil will work against us. And may God help us to be vigilant. And here Satan is attacking because progress is being made. And I want you to know that as the church progresses, your family is progressing. As the church advances, your children will receive the benefit of a healthy church where God's hand is present and His blessings are poured out. And here we find in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7, there's progress, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. Oh, the devil hates progress. And conspired all of them to come together to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. What's the greatest thing we can do right now as a church? We need to stay on our knees. We need to pray. God, would you bless the work? God, would you keep us united? Lord, would you protect us against the attacks of the devil? Lord, would you provide all the funding that is needed? And the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God's promised us in His Word that prayer gets things done. And so may God help us in the midst of this fight to fight and to pray. Nevertheless, verse 9, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night. Let's be sober. Let's be vigilant. Let's set a watch. Verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. So they're getting tired, they're getting weary. That happens to all of us. And our adversaries, they noted that, and they said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, verse 13, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families. He said, I got the families together with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, meaning he is powerful, he is mighty, and fight, notice this please, in verse number 14, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Number four, we need to fight the good fight because your family's under attack. The devil wants in your home. Sir, the devil wants you and your wife to separate. He wants to put something between the two of you. He wants to separate children from parents. He wants to come into our homes and carry our children away captive. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Oh, the devil is so savvy, isn't he? He's so calculated, so deceitful. And he seeks to come in and destroy our families. And let me just say this to you. If our families are weak, our church will be weak. And if our church is weakened, our families will be weakened. And so we need to understand that we need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to show up every day and be the men God made us to be. We need to be the fathers and the mothers that God made us to be. We need to learn to say no. We need to guard our home. We need to guard our heart because our family's under attack. Number five, we must fight the good fight of faith because it pleases our captain. Would you go back into the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. It pleases our captain when we stay in the battle. That means when we quit, we don't please him, right? It displeases him. Paul's writing to Timothy. This is his final letter, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness. It's not easy being a soldier. It's difficult. Life gets hard, complicated, tough. That's no excuse for us to quit. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Life gets busy, doesn't it? And there are lots of distractions that will pull us away from our duty. But we cannot allow ourselves to be drawn away from our duty. It's good to be duty bound. I was talking with a young man the other day, and he said to me, Pastor, I'm trying to read my Bible, but I have to be honest. There's some days I'm just doing it because I know I need to do it. I said, that's perfectly fine. You keep doing it. I said, you're not going to wake up every day eager to read your Bible, but you'll wake up some days eager to read it. Thank God for those days. But prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you prove it? By doing it. Do it. Do what you know to do, and you'll benefit more than you think you will. There's nothing wrong with being duty-bound. And I want to tell you, if you'll do your duty, God will send the blessings. So don't be drawn away. Fulfill your responsibility. Don't allow the difficulty and the distractions to keep you from the service of the Lord. And notice how he closes verse 4, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. May I say this to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation, and he has chosen you. He has drafted you into the service. He has. I remember the first time I saw that poster. You used to see it a lot. You don't see it so often anymore. It was Uncle Sam with his patriotic gear on, right? And he's pointing. And he says, "I want you." And I remember the campaign slogan of the Marines from several years ago, "We're looking for a few good men." Well, they can't say that much anymore, can they? Those campaigns were designed to say, hey, look, you're needed. And to create a sense of gratitude and gratefulness for the opportunity to serve to serve your country in the defense of your nation. And we ought to be thankful and grateful that God has sovereignly chosen us so that we might serve Him. He has chosen us to be soldiers of the cross, and we can please Him as we stay in the fight. Well, let me give you number six. Number six is this. We must fight the good fight of faith because victory is assured. Victory is assured. We know that we're going to win. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, there is no enemy that can prevail against us. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. There's nothing that can come to us that will prevail against us, that will defeat us. And Paul said in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, troubles, trials, or distress, the pressures of life that are closing in on us, or persecution, as Nero persecuted the Christians, carrying them into the arena to be torn asunder by animals, hanging them upon poles, setting their bodies ablaze to light the roads of Rome. Persecution. Famine. Nakedness. Peril. Great danger. We live in perilous times. Or sword. Violence. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, in the midst of all these difficulties, in the midst of all these trials, in the midst of all of what the world would classify as defeats, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We need to stay in the fight because victory is assured. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let's keep up the good fight of faith. Amen. David went down into the valley to face the giant. And as he went down, he said this to Goliath. He said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. That's what we need to remember. The battle is the Lord's. You say, Pastor, I'm in the fight, and it seems like I'm really in bad trouble. I'm losing. Hey, remember, the victory is assured. The battle is the Lord's. It's not up to you and I. It's up to Him. He's just called us to fight and be at our post. The psalmist said, David said, the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Exodus 14, Pharaoh has sent his army against Israel as they have left and departed from Egyptian bondage. They're hemmed in. They're at the sea, and here comes the Pharaoh and his army. And the people are filled with fear, and Moses says unto the people in Exodus 14 and verse 13, fear ye not. Have you ever been in a place where you were afraid? It looked like everything was closing in on you. It looked like you were at the brink of collapse and disaster. This is where they were. And Moses said, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Well, the temptation is to fight for ourselves, isn't it? But we need to know that the Lord is fighting for us. The battle is the Lord's. We are more than conquerors, and victory is assured. Let me give you number 7. We must fight the good fight of faith because God has equipped us for the battle. He didn't leave me here to figure it out. He has equipped me for the battle. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. God has armor. He has an armor for my protection. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. That's why we need to stay in the fight. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So I have the belt of truth. I have the support that I need in the truth of God's word. I have on the breastplate of righteousness. I have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, I can take the shield of faith, wherewith I am able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I can place upon my head the helmet of salvation. I can take in my hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God has equipped me for battle. And the equipment is found in the pages of His word. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has given me what I need to fight the good fight of faith. He's equipped me for the battle. And by the way, He's given me a sword, not just simply a protection. He's given me a weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are mighty weapons. And God says, I've given you the sword of the Spirit, and I've given you the opportunity to seek me in prayer. The weapons of our warfare, they are mighty weapons that can overcome any enemy. Casting down imaginations. As I said this morning, where is the battle fought in the realm of the believer's life? It's fought in the mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge. It's what we know to be true. The Satan works in the realm of our mind. And we can cast down imaginations. Wicked imaginations, fearful imaginations, faithless imaginations, doubtful imaginations. We can cast them down with the weapon of God's word. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Boy, my thoughts get me in trouble. I create scenarios that aren't real, but in my mind they are. And they take me to dark places. They take me to defeated places, to faithless places. But I have a mighty weapon, the sword of the Spirit, the truth of God's word. And I must stay in the fight because God has equipped me for battle. Well, let me give you this one in conclusion. We must fight the good fight of faith because there's a crown to be won. Hey, there's a prize. There's a crown to be won. And oh, you want that crown. And you'll be grieved if you don't receive it. Paul said, I have fought a good fight, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. The time of my departure is at hand, young Timothy. They're getting ready to put me to death and execute me. But I want you to know something, Timothy. By the way, what did the world say about Paul? Defeated. This crippled little man, beaten down, scarred, hated, scorned, ridiculed man who had a promising career in Jerusalem as one of the religious leaders. Here he's dying the death of a pauper in a Roman prison. He's defeated. He said, no. I'm more than a conqueror. He said, I fought a good fight. Oh, to be able to say that. As we draw near to the finish line, to be able to say, I fought a good fight. What more would you want said of yourself? I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Where are you going to get that crown, Paul? From the Lord himself, is going to take that crown and he's going to place it on my brow as I bow before him in thanksgiving. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. I don't want to miss that day. And I don't want to quit today and lose the blessing of that day. There's a crown to be won, and may God help us to be faithful. There's some reasons that you and I need to fight the good fight. Let's stay in it. Let's not quit.
Thank you for listening. We pray that God has used His Word to speak to you today. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit us online at tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. There, you'll find additional information about our church, opportunities to partner with us financially, as well as other resources that we hope can be a help to you. May God bless you, and thank you once again for listening.